Well, please turn with me now in your Bibles to Psalm 73. Psalm 73. And this morning, we were blessed with the opportunity to sit around the table of the Lord and partake of the sacrament of communion. In this feast, we communed with one another as well as with our risen Savior, feasting on His body and His blood in a spiritual way. This meal, which was celebrated, is one that has a greater fulfillment to come. Yes, we were able to feast with Christ spiritually in this meal. But there will come a day in which we feast with Him in a physical way as we partake of that heavenly wedding feast which is to come. And because of that, our attention ought to now be turned heavenward. So with that in mind, give your attention now to the reading of the infallible Word of God from Psalm 73, and we'll be reading verses 25 and 26. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. Thus far, the reading of God's Word, let us ask His blessing upon it. O Lord, we are incredibly thankful for how Thou hast blessed us already this Lord's Day. And Lord, we are thankful for this Word which Thou hast given us. This Word which is sweeter than honey. This Word which is more valuable, more treasured than the finest gems. This Word which is perfect and kept pure. O Lord, we rejoice that we have not been left in the dark for how we are to live our lives, but Thou hast given us Thy Word for instructions in how we are to go about walking and living according to Thy precepts. O Lord, we pray that Thou wouldst be with the minister this day as he preaches this Word unto us. The man is weak. The man is unworthy. But Christ Jesus is mighty, and Christ Jesus is worthy. So we ask, Lord, that Christ Jesus would speak through His minister this day to feed our hearts with this Word. O Lord, we ask that we would not leave here this day the same, but that we would truly have experienced an encounter with the Almighty Lord of glory. So we ask that Thou wouldst feed us this day, and we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen. Well, this Lord's Day has been an incredible experience as we have been lifted up into the heavens and seated at the King's table in order to commune with Christ Jesus spiritually in the supper. And it seems fitting to now point your eyes towards heaven, towards that which is a present heavenly reality, and towards that which is a reality to come, in response to partaking of this supper. Far too often the church is as a horse with blinders on and can only see what is right in front of it. We tend to focus on the here and now, the present reality of what we are living, and we focus our attention on what's going on in the world and the different things that we have to do this week and how much work we have to get done and so on. But how often do you sit back and marvel at the wonders of your Heavenly Father? How often do you bask in the glory of His presence that you are privileged to enter into each and every week? How often do you think of that which is to come when this present age passes away and the new comes? I know that we've talked about heaven and what awaits you after this age. We've talked about it several times. And so I pray that this is not something new for any of you. But it's my fear that even still, we rarely intentionally set our eyes towards heaven and just meditate upon those great realities. So that's what I hope for you today, that you will fix your eyes heavenward and marvel and delight in that, desiring the God of heaven. So we'll take up this theme of desiring the God of heaven, and we'll do so by considering three heads. First, your desire. Next, your weakness. And finally, your portion. So let us first consider your desire. The psalmist, who is Asaph, the prophet, speaks about how much he's been blessed by being in the presence of the Lord, whether it be in the sanctuary or whether it be in the simple private communion with Him. Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee. He is satisfied in the Lord alone. Nothing else in all of creation, nothing in heaven or on earth has He desired but God. You can hear the devotion to Jehovah in His tone of words. Calvin says that he declares that he desires nothing either in heaven or in earth except God alone, and that without God, all other objects which usually draw the hearts of men towards them were unattractive to him. This is a man who has truly experienced God. Not in some crazy charismatic way or anything like that, but one who has been in the presence of the Almighty and has been changed by it. Friends, we oftentimes pray that the Lord would bless us in our worship of Him. And there's no way that you can spend intimate time with the Lord of glory and not come away blessed. You cannot spend time in His presence and leave saying that you have not experienced God. What happened when Moses was in the presence of Jehovah? His face shone so radiantly that they had to veil him. Now understand, this is a unique experience, and very likely it's something that will never happen again. But the principle of the matter stands. Being in the presence of the Almighty changes you. And it changes your attitude. It changes the desires of your heart. Far too many times I've seen believers leave church and say that they really didn't get anything out of the service. They just didn't feel like they had experienced God. Friends, if that's the case, then the problem is with you. How can you enter into the throne room of grace, sing praise unto the Lord, lift your prayers up to Him, hear His word read and preached to you, and leave saying that you got nothing out of it? It's absurd. The only way that's possible is if your desire is for something other than the Lord. Friends, every time you gather together for worship, your desire ought to be for the Lord Himself. You're not here to be entertained or to have your itching ears tickled. You're here to meet with the triune God of the universe. After having just communed with Christ at His table this morning, you ought to be experiencing what the psalmist was experiencing. You ought to be overwhelmed with a deep and sincere satisfaction in the Lord. Every time you enter into the public assembly, ought to be your own mountaintop experience like Moses had. Do you understand what it actually means to worship your God? Do you understand what a great and awesome thing it is to be privileged to approach the throne room of grace boldly through the mediation of Christ Jesus? Do you understand the significance of sitting at His table as we did this morning and partaking of that sacramental meal? If so, then understand that you've met with Him. That ought to be enough for you to be able to say with the psalmist, "Whom have I in heaven but Thee? And there is none upon earth that I desire beside Thee." He ought to be the greatest desire of your heart. And there will come a day in which you will be in His immediate presence and you will eat of that great wedding feast of the Lamb in glory. All of the other things of this world, the distractions which take our focus off of Jehovah, will be stripped away, and all you will do forevermore is worship and serve Him. So I ask you, dear saints, what is the desire of your heart? Is it the riches of the world, the pleasures which are found in pursuing vain things, the worldly blessings which will one day fade away, or is the desire of your heart the God of heaven? If He is not the desire of your heart now, if you cannot say these words along with the psalmist now, then what makes you think that you'll be able that He will be the desire of your heart for all of eternity? Far too often we fix our eyes on everything around us, getting caught up in the busyness of this life, and we take our eyes off of Christ. It's then that the temptations and the pleasures of this world will come and they'll become enticing, seeking to become the desires of your heart. Friends, do not fall into this wicked trap that is set by the devil. Calvin says, if we give the smallest portion of our affections to the creatures, we insofar defraud God of the honor which belongs to Him. you must see little desire, little reason to desire the things of the world, when you know that which is much more and much better, that which is surer and sweeter. You know and have experienced the comforts that are found in Jehovah alone. Nothing else can come close to this. If you desire to seek God aright, then you must beware of being led astray down the wrong path by the things of this world that are fighting for your devotion and attention. You must give yourselves wholly and exclusively to the Lord. This is the only way of seeking Him, to have Him be your desire. And you must not let yourself get in the way either, because you will ultimately fail. Let us now turn to consider your weakness. Look at the beginning of verse 26. The psalmist says, "My flesh and my heart faileth." The psalmist realizes that he is weak and that he will ultimately fail in his own strength. Here we see him speak of both his body and his soul, his flesh and his heart. We all know that this body which we are given will one day succumb to the effects of the fall and will once again return to dust. This is part of that curse that is found in Genesis 3:19. "In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return into the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return." Now, we don't know if the psalmist was experiencing some sort of physical ailment which caused him to say this, or if he was simply stating a fact. But either way, this is something that's true for all of us. We don't like to think of that day in which we will be laid into the grave and returned to the dust. But that day will come. Many of us here have dealt with various forms of illness and disease and ailments. These are all constant reminders that our bodies are weak, that they are failing. And so finding your comfort and your rest within yourself is a futile task. Who is the one that puts breath into your lungs? Who is the one that causes your heart to beat? Who is the one that wakes you each and every morning? It's not yourself. Friends, you are powerless in yourself. Your flesh is failing. But not just your flesh, your heart is failing as well when left on its own. We saw this morning that there is nothing that you can do to rescue yourself from the curse of the law that you are under. Every one of us here, if left to our own devices, would wither away as turmoil and tribulations and chaos of this life overtakes us. This is a fact that cannot be denied. And yet one look at the world around you would tell you that we live in a society in which spiritual heart failure is running rampant. Look at the wickedness of the world, the violence that plagues our cities, the blood of the unborn babies that runs through the streets, the perversions that are put on display and proudly boasted in. We live in a world that is plagued with chronic spiritual heart failure. And there's only one remedy for it. The great physician must perform a heart surgery in order for there to be hope for survival. Anyone who's ever been around someone with heart failure knows that it is literally a life or death situation. How many of those walking around with spiritual heart failure know that they are in a spiritual life or death situation? They don't just have clogged arteries or even an improperly functioning valve or anything like that. No, they have a complete spiritual heart failure and are in desperate need of a transplant. And thanks be to God that He does just that. The Lord says in Ezekiel 36 and verses 25 to 27, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." That's what they need. Or else their hearts will continue to fail. Friends, are you sitting here today and you feel the anguish that our psalmist felt here? Do you feel as though your flesh and your heart is failing? Well, you must recognize that separated from God, you are nothing. Everything about you will fail. Everything you attempt to do will end in nothing but misery and failure. You heard what was preached to you this morning, that you are under a curse. And if you are not in Christ, then I can promise you that the weight of that curse which is upon you will utterly destroy you. The failing of your heart will end in utter ruin. But friends, there is hope to be found in the Lord. Cry out to the Lord and He will rescue you from the curse. Submit to Jehovah and He will perform that critical heart surgery that is needed, removing your heart of stone and giving you a heart of flesh. And if you don't, then what awaits you is not everlasting blessedness and glory with God for eternity. What awaits you is not the marriage supper of the Lamb. No, what awaits you is utter darkness, everlasting hellfire, and eternal damnation where the worm never dies and all that remains for you is wailing and gnashing of teeth. Stop putting your trust in yourself, because you will fail. Turn to Christ Jesus and be saved. Confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. Friends, it's that simple. You are weak, but He is mighty. The psalmist felt that anguish, that his flesh and his heart were failing, but that anguish did not last because he had a greater hope and a more sure portion. So finally, let us now consider your portion. Look again at verse 26. "My flesh and my heart faileth, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The psalmist recognized that while on his own, he was nothing. Once he came to the Lord, he found an abundant supply of strength. Matthew Henry says, "In the distress supposed, he had put the case of a double failure. Both flesh and heart fail, but in the relief, he fastens on a single support. He leaves out the flesh and the consideration of that. It is enough that God is the strength of his heart. He speaks as one careless of the body. Let that fail. There is no remedy. But as one concerned about the soul, to be strengthened in the inner man. Here we see this great declaration of the unwavering in faith that is rooted in Jehovah. He recognizes that the Lord is his provider and that truly he is Jehovah Jireh. And so his soul recognizes and responds to the truth of God's provision. His heart is no longer failing, but instead is being strengthened by the Lord. He is completely satisfied in Jehovah because Jehovah provides everything that he could ever need. The Lord is the desire of his heart. Though he is weak, though his flesh and his heart faileth, God is the strength of his heart and his portion forever. Friends, you must ensure that God is the portion. It is your portion. That he is the one who fills you. Rely on him as your only source for strength. Find rest in him alone, especially when you find yourself going through the most difficult trials of this life. When your flesh is failing, rest in the one whose body did not see corruption. When your heart is failing, take comfort in the fact that he has taken your heart of stone and given you a heart of flesh. He is the one that will guide you through all of life's challenges. Matthew Henry writes, "It is our duty to make God the portion of our souls and then to make use of him as our portion and to take comfort of it in the midst of our lamentation." If he is truly the desire of your heart, if there truly is none in heaven that you desire but him and no one that you desire on earth besides him, then you must have him as your portion forever. When you go through this life and you feel as though the world is closing in on you, to whom do you run? Is it your family or your friends or yourself? Or is it the Lord? When you're in your deepest distresses, you must rest upon God as your spiritual strength and your eternal portion. He is the one who will fill you up when you feel as though you've been emptied out. He is the one who will build you up when you feel as though you've been broken down. He is the one who will bring you lasting joy and peace when everything around you continues to fail. You can find rest for your failing flesh and heart, and that can only be found in the sovereign Lord of all. Flee to him. Find your rest and comfort and hope in him. Make him the portion. Make him your portion all the days of your life. One day the fullness of the glory of the Lord will overtake you as your failing flesh is made new and your heart no longer fails, and you will enjoy the portion of your soul for all eternity. Oh, what a glorious day that will be. Friends, God alone is abundantly sufficient. You don't need the pleasures of the world. You don't need the riches and the treasures and the possessions and the houses and the cars and whatever else this world may tell you will make you happy. Remember the words of Christ in Matthew chapter 6, verses 19 to 21. "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal, but lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. So I ask you, where is your treasure stored up? Is it in those things which moth and rust doth corrupt? Or is it in that which is incorruptible, that which is eternal, that which is heavenly? The things of this world will never satisfy the longings of your heart. When your body is laid in the grave, you will be as poor as the dirt that you were buried under. Nothing from this world will be taken with you into eternity. Does that sadden you? Does that concern you? If so, then I'm afraid to say that the Lord is not your portion. Make it right. Treasure Him above all else. And when you pass from this age into the next, you will be met with the finest treasure standing there with open arms, ready to welcome you into His everlasting kingdom. Do not be as that rich young ruler who went away sad from Christ because he was unwilling to part from his great possessions. Instead, be as the Apostle Paul, who counted all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, the Lord. Let Him be your portion. Brothers and sisters, I pray that after the feast that we have partaken of here today, that you have come to see in a greater way the excellency of Christ Jesus. I pray that your experience with the Lord this day has caused you to be blessed and filled so that you too can say that He is your only desire, that nothing else in all the world matters save Christ Jesus the Lord. That you no longer place any reliance upon yourself, but instead place your trust wholly in Christ, the One who is mighty to save. And I pray that you found the strength of your heart and your portion forever in God alone. Take this opportunity to tune out the things of the world and to turn your focus onto the things of heaven. For that is where your treasure is. And that is where you will be for all eternity. This world is not your home. You're only here for the passing. One day you will live within the gates and you will be filled with your portion for all eternity. Let us all long for that day to come. And let us all say with the closing words of Scripture, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, we are thankful for the feast that Thou hast fed us with this day, not only in the sacrament, but in Thy word preached. We thank Thee, O Lord, for Thy life-giving word. And we pray that this day has caused us to reorient ourselves, to focus upon that which matters the most, and that is the God of heaven. O Lord, we ask that Thou wouldst remove all the distractions from our lives, all those things which seek to take the desire of our heart and to stand in Thy place. Remove them from our lives so that we can say that there is none in heaven that we have but thee, and there is none in earth that we desire besides thee. O Lord, we ask that thou wouldst fill us in all the ways that we are lacking, so that we can truly find our sustenance, our fulfillment, our life in thee and thee alone. O Lord, we trust that thou art our portion forever, that thou wilt provide for our every needs, and we rest in that, no matter what comes our way, no matter what trials or tribulations we may face, we rest in the fact that we are in Christ, and that thou alone, O Lord, are our portion forever. O Lord, bless the remainder of this Sabbath day, and bless us as we depart from here. And we pray these things in Christ's name. Amen.